Oh, that's right. Some of our local neighbours decided they'd have a male meal. They instigated this every now and again. All the males, and their wives would get together. And the men would cook the meal, and they'd get all to get together. And they decided that they'd include me. I'm never quite sure whether I was male or female, but I had to do my bit both ways. The women brought the wine, and the men cooked the meal. So I found I was bringing wine and a meal too. But that was fun. But that's fizzled out now. People have moved away. But we had some very, very funny experiences. I can remember my neighbour up the. In Rifle Range Road, he was had a very wry sense of humour, and one year at Guy Fawkes, he decided he'd put a dummy, a life-size dummy in the neighbour's pond. It caused a lot of. They thought it was a real body, and oh dear, yes. Oh, he caused a lot of interesting experiences. I recall them. I remember once some people, newcomers to the valley, were invited to the dinner at their place, and then during the meal, he leapt up and rushed out of the room, out of the kitchen, where they were sitting, sort of casually, country style. Leapt up, got his gun, and started shooting into the corner of the room. He said, "Those damn rats," he said. Couldn't believe their eyes. I don't think they ever went back, but yeah, it was quite funny. But unfortunately, the police decided that he wasn't allowed to have his rifle anymore. It was too dangerous. Oh dear! That they had donkeys and the woman of the house unfortunately fed all her thousands of poultry by the back door, and it became a haven for rats everywhere. In fact, when they sold the house and moved away, the people that bought it found that they had to the rats had so undermined the property. It's a wonder the house didn't fall over. It so undermined the property, and they had to excavate 3 meters to put the piles in to rebuild the house. That was, it's really good now. We don't have as many rats, thank heavens. Because they used to be a bit of a scourge here. They're only water rats, but rats are rats, aren't they? Not nice, not nice.
So I guess you hope never to have to leave the valley.
Nope. I've got my plot up at the local church when I pay for it. yes, I said I decided that I'd like to be right beside the door, just to the right of the door, so that I could keep an eye on those coming to church. Everybody laughs about that. But yes, I really would like to remain in the valley forever, as it were. So that's, yeah, fair enough. It's definitely part of my life. Well, it's funny when you grow up in a small town, well, it's a big town now, like Palmerston North, you'd think that was your main, but it isn't really. I love going back there. Now, Harry Valley is my home, that's the thing. See? And I think that you're particularly Viv's. My son is not quite so attached to it, but Viv is, so I can't see her leaving either. She threatens to every now and again. Says, "Oh, it's cold here." But I think Wellington's warming up. Slightly. We'll say it is.
Oh, you've done really well at remembering all sorts of things.
Well,
It's quite hard to think back of that big
well,
chunk
it
of
is
time.
just off the cuff, but then certain triggers remind you of whatever. Because I worked. I decided when the children were growing up, I needed to get some work, and so the country club opened at that time. And oh, there's some great stories there. But I went up. I said, "I'd like a job, please." And I said, "I can do anything." So I started off as a waitress. I'd never, ever, ever done anything like that before. But they took me on, and I must have been reasonably successful. So in the years that I was there, I did everything. In I waitressed, I managed for a short term. I was functions manager. I organised all the functions for them, and the children and I one Christmas took over the whole club. They let us run it, and I did the cooking and the cleaning and the running of it, answering the phone. The children helped me, and it was really good. But unfortunately, the poor country club had not, they were serving liquor and they hadn't got a license. And somehow the police got to know it and they raided it. I'll never forget that night because there was a valley function. It was one of the progressive dinners on that night, and I wasn't at the club. And the grapevine's pretty good here. We heard that the police had raided it. And driving home, I was up the valley and I could see the lights on in the club. I thought, oh, I better go up and see. And funny thing, by the time I'd driven up the drive, there was not a light anywhere. Oh, what was I? I banged on the door and one of them came and said, oh, it's only you. They said, we thought it was the police coming back and they'd been throwing all the liquor down the bank. Oh dear, those were the days too. I remember one lunchtime, somebody had a BB gun, and I must have been mad because I was firing this jolly BB gun across the gully during the lunchtime. I think probably to this day, there's probably the odd bottle that's down the bank that hasn't been discovered. But it was a wonderful place to work. It really was. I was lucky because I had a whole a full social life, and I got paid. So, and the children, you could come up after school and sort of swim in the pool and things like that. So another thing to be, blessed. I feel blessed over. Sorry when they sold it, really. But there you go.
And what were some of the other great stories that you remember from your time there?
Oh, from at the club. Oh. I think that was the most major one. I can remember the jolly directors. I think they got them. There were five of them. Their main joy of running the club was to have their Thursday night dinners. They all got, oh dear, honestly, the things they got up to. I could tell lots of stories, but I won't because it's a bit personal.
Fair enough.
And I can remember that we had dances for the club members. And I can remember somebody who was a great rock and roller danced with me. And the next thing I knew, I was thrown between through his legs and then flipped up on. I think my heel marks are still on the ceiling today. It was the biggest shock I've ever had. Oh dear, yes, it was. Oh, they were good days, those. Yes. Pity they had to end, but never mind. But again, I was fortunate of having work close by, and the children were able to participate as well. So gave them I suppose I don't know what a feeling for adult, not adult like that, but they gave them a sophistication they might not have achieved otherwise, which was good. Yes. But unfortunately, the country club was ahead of its time, and being so far out in the country, it couldn't last.
How long was it there for?
Well, quite a few years, must be about 10 years. And then now it's a private home, a large private home, very large. They've kind of, funnily enough, they've kept it as it was. That they've built their living accommodation around the perimeter, and the big areas. I loved being barmaid. That was fun. Oh dear. I used to go when I my shift, and I'd say, now what will I try off the top shelf tonight? They didn't know that, but it was a bit naughty, so I got quite a liking for some of the expensive liqueurs. Oh dear. But again, it's funny. It's a funny life now because everybody has to have a CV to get a job. And the only time I had a CV to get a job, I didn't get it. Every other time, if I just bowled up in those days to get a job, I got it. It's funny. I don't know whether CVs are quite such a good idea.
And did you ever have any other jobs?
Well, if I couldn't get any work, I started my own business. I had my own business when I was living in Kandala. I left school at 15 and I learnt to do hairdressing. Now I had my own shop. And then when I, after I'd had my children, I opened a florist shop. I was interested in floral. And I opened a little kiosk when they were built in the Bank of New Zealanders in Willis Street, and I opened that in there, and they built all the block above me while I had it, and then time came that I had to get my little kiosk out of the main foyer of the building, and so they offered me a shop, so I thought, oh, well, I became a florist by default. The little kiosk was just for dried flower arrangements, which was quite popular in those days. Not anymore. And then I was able to sell the business, so it was quite good. I really haven't done much more since. The years have gone so fast. No, can't think of anything more, unless you prompt me to something.
I suppose one of the other features of Haru is the riding school. Have you ever had anything to do with that?
Not specifically. I know when Viv when she was 10, she was quite keen on horses, so we leased a horse from the riding school. She probably told you about that. And I was able to establish that she was really keen, so we bought her horse Rua. So that's really the only contact I've had with the actual riding school, not being a horsey person myself. So, but it was interesting when they built it there, and the people that come out riding, because that was a novelty too for Wellington, this close to the city, and it still is, I suppose. I can remember the first night we got this horse, lovely white Arab. He was beautiful, actually. And we met the people that we bought it from up at the top of the valley. They came over from Tawa with him over the hill, and we took over and Viv rode him home. And the only place we had to put him at that stage was in our backyard here. And I was kept awake all night because I could hear him chomping all my plants. He loved roses, absolutely adored roses. Of course, I didn't have roses for long. Oh dear. But we were very fortunate because with neighbours again, we managed to get grazing for him from the next door neighbours. So we really didn't have to pay for grazing. It was sort of a reciprocal arrangement. I can't remember what my part of it was, but Viv used to help them. Helped them look after their animals too. So, and then when she became a vet, she was quite popular with him. Yes, I'll never forget. Oh, that's right, when poor old Rua, did she tell you about his demise?
No.
Oh, that was really sad. Poor old thing, he was 27 years old, which is quite, no, 37. That's quite a lot old for a horse. And he was going overseas. And he kept falling down. Of course, we had to get all the neighbours to help. And I said, look, well, I cannot look after this horse while you're away. I just can't. So she made the decision that she'd have to euthanize him. And she didn't want me to be there, but I said, oh, I had to, because, I mean, he was her. So we're up in the back paddock. We both went up there, and she gave him a lethal dose, and he would not die. His heart was so strong, and it was dreadful. So she had to do another one, and because we were both heartbroken. And I looked up into the sky, and you wouldn't believe it. There was there was a full horse galloping across the sky with its tail. I'll never forget that. I wished I'd had a camera to take it, because it was unmistakably a horse with its tail flowing I said there were both some tears, of course, but it was quite remarkable, because I'm sure he had a spiritual sort of, well, we had a spiritual attachment to him, so so we had him for a long time. He must have been about 10 when we got him. But he was an Arab, and he loved jumping. He could hear, even when he was old, go down to the pony club thing, and he'd be squealing away, waiting to get in with the races and leap across the jumps. it was fun. Even though I didn't really like pony club much, but never mind.
What do you like about pony club?
Oh, well, not being horsey, I endured it. I'll put it that way. The things mothers do for their children. dear. And after we gave back the, we relinquished the lease on the horse she had first, my son decided he'd like it. It lasted 24 hours. Little boys don't seem to have the same sort of nurturing quality for horses that girls do. No, it was too much hard work for Chris. He was more mechanically minded.
So what sorts of things would he get into?
I'm trying to think. He was very easy, didn't he? He was a reader, and he liked tinkering with mechanical things. I remember coming home from the club one night, and I could see all the lights flashing on and off. There were lights everywhere in the house. They were flashing on and off. And he and one of his mates had rigged up a whole lighting system that flashed on and off. I couldn't believe my eyes. Because that was another thing. In those days, it wasn't illegal to leave your children. They were quite used to being on their own here. Not when they were very small, but when they were in their teens, it was quite okay. Nobody worried. It was fine. It was good. Didn't get into any terrible mischief apart from the flashing lights. But he went to university and got science degrees. So he's interested in what do they call it? Can't think of the word. Senior moment. Anything, IT. So he's in that field at the moment. Yeah. So they don't do too bad. Both double degrees, so that's good.
Yes, does he come back to visit the valley much?
Oh, yeah, he just lives in Tawa, so it's he's got family there. It's we have family get-togethers quite regularly. It's quite good, really. I'm very blessed there too, because I've got all my grandchildren, all three of them, close by. Which is wonderful, really, because I was the oldest of six children, and I feel as though I've raised three families in a way, because my siblings I had to help mother with, and then raising my two, and then with grandchildren sort of involvement. I've had children around me all my life. It's good.
Mm. Well, thank you. You've done a wonderful job.
Oh,
been lovely.
Can't stop me.
You don't have to stop. No, it's been wonderful. It really has. It's a real privilege to be able to come and talk to people like yourself.
Oh, well, it's lovely if you do.
Find out about Haru, because it is, like you say, a unique place.
Well, it's so good that somebody has taken the initiative to do, because I think an oral history is terribly important. Viv wanted to do something like that. She wished she had interviewed some of the older people in the valley, but they have, alas, gone. They have great memories.
Yeah.
You'd find it really interesting walking around the old Catholic cemetery too. That gives an insight into the lives of the very early settlers. I know there's one family there, I think the whole mother and a number of children died of the influenza. And then there's the later gravestone of the father and his new family too. It's quite amazing the things they got went through in those early days.
Have you picked up a fair bit of the history of Aharu, of the early settlers and things in your time here?
No, only through the Bryants, basically. And best some a certain amount, but not the Bryants have taken more of an interest, I think, in the valley history, because most of the draves up at the Church of Bryants, so because there were sawmills and all sorts of things in those days. I know the church history, it's quite interesting. I think and there's a bell, the church bell came off one of the old ships that came to, and also there's a bell in the Catholic cemetery. The local guild built a shelter for it, and there's a big magnolia tree growing over it, and that came off one of the early ships that came out from England. So, and when I go down to Picton, I like to go and visit the Edwin Fox, because my mother's side, they came out on the Edwin Fox, and it is so it can't be any longer than this room. How they existed. She had five children in it, my great-great-great-grandmother. Five children came out in it. Must have been hell, absolute hell for them. But just recently I went to my granddaughter's sort of end-of-year function for St Mark's School, and it was just her year, year 11, I think. And young person got up and spoke about what they are, and all their background. A lot of them were Chinese, Indian, the mix of ethnic children is incredible in New Zealand at the moment. And they stood up and they came, all the ships, the places they came from. And I said, when you think, how would anybody ever want to come to little old New Zealand from Europe and England? And they did. Mm. And they must have gone through an awful lot of... the courage it must have had to be... I watched that film, The Piano, and it sort of gives you a feeling for how awful it must have been. Oh, I'm not pioneer stock like that. I must admit I've sort of... been a pioneer in a small way, but not like that.
I reckon you could have done it though. Oh, probably. Probably.
Probably. Oh, you should have heard the cursing and swearing when I tried to get the pump to work, but still, I mastered it. I still go down there, say a small prayer before I get it going. Oh dear. Hmm.